Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy, and that means no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found it, you are here for a reason. And I hope something you hear in the next hour is liberating for you, empowers you, and helps you move forward. Now, I've been working as a professional intuitive and spiritual teacher for a long time now, and there are some questions that come up over and over and over again when people are in transition, when they're feeling stuck, or when they're taking stock of their lives so that they can gear up to move ahead on their spiritual path. What will I do about the money? Will it be okay? Will I have enough? Why aren't I attracting the abundance that I want or need or deserve? And why can't I hang on to it once I get it? Well, money's just a thing, like anything else. And our relationship with money can be as emotionally complex as our relationship with our parents, our partner, our friends. And my guest on today's show is financial coach Brianna Cavanaugh. And she is here to help us understand money, how we can use it to enhance our lives, and maybe, maybe dare we dream to teach us tools for finding financial bliss. I will introduce you to Brianna in just a moment, but first, would you please head over to fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything? That is a great place to find out about upcoming classes and events. You can get the skinny on what's happening next on this show and lots more. I've got a free psychic protection meditation that I would love to share with you as a gift. So if you stick your email address in the box at fogcitypsychic.com, then that audio meditation will be yours to stream or download. And it also gets you on the list for the twice monthly Out of the Fog Minute, which is my audio musings. I guess it's an audio blog. That always contains session discounts and special offers just because I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad you're listening. And if you're looking for compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive guidance, FogCityPsychic.com is the place to find out more about me and my approach to this work. I would be happy to connect with you for a private session if that feels like a good fit for you. FogCityPsychic.com. And now, Brianna Cavanaugh is a financial coach and bookkeeper who loves helping people love their money and their relationship with it. She works with individuals, couples, and business owners as well as executive teams. Brianna designs and teaches workshops and trainings on financial self-care, and she brings her true love of helping people learn and her passion for finance to everything she does. She's also a dirt-loving tree worshiper, oh dear, who spends lots of time with her son and her cat. Find out more about Brianna and her work at infinitelypossible.net. Brianna, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, you're not actually covered with dirt now, though.
No, not now. Now I'm curled up in my apartment with my kitty.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, how did you find your way into working with money? How did you get to this place?
You know, like all good things in my life, completely accidentally. I actually used to work in the tech industry. I was a database analyst and tech writer and worked with geeks which, you know, some of which I enjoyed quite a lot. And in the tech bust in 2002, I got laid off, like many people did. And I really realized after not very long that I would rather chew glass than write another technical manual. So I had to find something else to do. And two things happened simultaneously. One was that the money started running out. You know, I'd had a great run working in technology, and I was using up my unemployment, and I was using up spending on my 401k, and, you know, money was going away at a really rapid, quite uncomfortable pace. And I was looking for something, you know, so I had to figure out something to do. I had to figure out work. I had to figure out, and I'm one of those people who really needs not just work, but a life path, a calling, you know, otherwise you get sort of bored and wander away. And at the same time, I was offered a temp job doing a projected budget for a nonprofit. And when they offered it to me, I said, you know, guys, this isn't what I do. I have a background in technology. I don't do finance. And they said, no, you'll be fine. And I said, no, I won't be fine. And we went back and forth for a minute. And eventually I just said, you know, in my head, I was like, I'll show you. I will go and it will not be fine. So I showed up, and much to my surprise, it was fine. And it wasn't just fine. I decided that, you know, I didn't know anything else. I didn't know anything about finance. So I just said to the executive director of the nonprofit, you know, I don't really know how to do this. And she said, that's okay. You know about the technology stuff. And in fact, her budget was in this really complex Excel spreadsheet that I did know a lot about how to manipulate. And we sat and worked through figuring it out. I brought the technology, she brought the finance piece, and I found very quickly that not only could I do this, but I had a real aptitude for helping people figure out the numbers part without making them completely insane, which is delightful because, you know, if you're working with money, you actually want to be quite, you know, crazy. And I guess I don't really mean crazy. I mean accessible, right? You know, sometimes you talk to finance people and they say stuff that it just doesn't make any sense. They speak some kind of language that, you know, other human beings don't really speak. And I managed to find a path through where I am able to do some of that translating for people, you know, help understand the tools and the terms and the ideas and help people who are not finance people, who are not super savvy, find their way through the maze of money to some sort of satisfaction, you know, an easier way of dealing with money.
What do you love the most about this? Because you help people, like it said in the bio that I just read, you're working with individuals, you're working with business owners. What do you love about all these different people and working with their money?
Well, you said it. It's the people. You know, I love working with people. And one of the things that's consistent in my history is that I have really enjoyed working with people. So when I worked on technology, being someone who was helping, you know, ordinary people understand technology, and now, you know, something similar about finance, where I can help people engage in a very technical part of the world in a way that they feel more comfortable and at ease, and it increases their competence, and they just start to really understand something that they felt was really inaccessible or difficult or challenging before. Mm-hmm. And I just love making those connections for people.
I'm thinking about what you told us about it during the time after you were let go from the technology job and you sat there and the money was running out. That's something mm-hmm. that I hear for people. They're sitting and they're watching the money run out and they're terrified and yep. they don't want to look at it and yet they know they need to look at it and it sets up a horrible pattern. What could someone do if they were experiencing that?
So there are two sides, right? One is the looking at money, like that it's hard to look at money. And the other side, and the side we usually don't talk about, is the feeling side. The reason they're not looking at money is because they have big, giant feelings. And they're afraid that the big, giant feelings will overrun them, or, you know, some difficult negative fantasy, right? Mine used to be, and I'll die. You know, I'll get to this place, the money will run out, and I'll die. Mm-hmm. Different people have different, you know, thoughts that they kind of spin up about it. But the money at some point did run out, at least for a minute, and I did not die.
Right.
What you need to do is really be with the emotions. Emotions live in the body, right? They're hormones and electrical impulses. But what we don't always realize is that if we're with them, if we be with our feelings, they'll go through us in about 20 minutes. It's this holding on to them that makes them stick and live in different places in the body. I mean, literally the hormones get stuck in places and we relive them, by, you know, drawing up memories and making things stuck in the body. So, being willing to feel all the feelings is a critical path for, having a better relationship with money.
Mm. Those feelings are scary, though. If I get into those feelings, if I'm sitting watching my money run out and I hear you say it's only going to take 20 minutes, can I survive the 20 minutes? Because I think we put it off till later. Oh, God, it's running out. Okay, I'll deal with it later.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, dealing with it later is not actually going to help, right? The sooner you're able to look at money and feel the feelings, the sooner you'll be able to take action. You know, what you're bringing up is this thing about procrastination. And I actually just taught a class on procrastination called The Exciting Benefits of Procrastination.
Oh, good. There are benefits.
There are benefits. The truth is that procrastination gives us information. You know, these feelings that come up give us information. And we like to pretend that we're not feeling the feelings, but we are. What we haven't done is stepped into them so that we can move beyond them, right? So it's not like you don't know that you have anxiety and terror coming up. You do know. You're just trying to ignore it, right? So it's there at a low level over a long period of time rather than having the experience and moving on from it. So that's the thing that's not happening, is people don't allow themselves to kind of go through it and move on. I mean, there are lots of tools for being in that moment and having those intense emotions, you know, allowing yourself to cry, taking a break from whatever you're working on, going for a walk. There are tons and tons of tools for actually being with the emotions, but it's my experience is it's not usually the being with the emotions that is difficult. It's the procrastinating getting to the emotions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we are.
Go ahead.
But I was just going to say we're endowed with this amazing emotional guidance system. There are lots of people that talk about this idea. Our emotions give us incredible information, right? But we tend to ignore them. You know, we tend to ignore that gut feeling, you know, and it's almost always a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'd be willing to say it's always a mistake to ignore your gut feeling, right? If you ignore it, things happen, and often you feel worse if you ignore your gut feeling. So I'm always a fan of people really listening to themselves, to their bodies, and using that information to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I teach. I teach intuitive development, and something that I tell students is that whatever you're receiving, that part of tuning in, getting a better connection with your intuition, is that whatever you're receiving, you acknowledge it. You say thank you, and then you discern what to do with it, right? If I suddenly have the gut feeling that I need to, I don't know, go eat 100 peanut butter sandwiches, it's not going to be a wise idea for me, but I acknowledge that. Oh, what an interesting feeling. Thanks so much for the feeling. Then you discern, is it wise for me to eat 100 peanut butter sandwiches, right?
Have you had that feeling? I haven't had that one. I'm curious.
Not with the sandwiches, no. There was a tragic incident when I was a child with selling. We were selling boxes of candy bars. The theater group that I was in was we had been invited to England to be in a festival in England to perform there, and we had to raise all this money. And so we sold candy bars And the boxes of candy bars sat in my room, and they called to me. They whispered this sweet, chocolatey, gooey whisper, "Come to us, Karen, you must devour the candy bars." And that was a gut instinct I kind of went with, much to my despair and to my parents' despair, because they, of course, ended up paying for the candy bars. So I haven't had the peanut butter sandwich thing, but the candy bars, yes. Now, don't tell anyone. We'll just keep that between us.
Yes. It'll be our secret.
It'll be our secret.
Our secret and all the people who are listening.
That's right. Someone's writing this down right now. It's going in a book somewhere. But the thing about gut instincts around money is that so often we were talking about this a little before we went on the air. So often those gut instincts are things like wild hunches, you know what I mean? I'll just take a flyer on this stock I've never heard of because it feels good to me, or I'll put everything on red, right? And do that. And so I think maybe when we get gut instincts around money, those hunches, that we tend to discount them because it can bring up more fear. Do you see what I mean? Fear will go off the rails. That it's just way too much, that now we're being irresponsible because we listen to our intuition.
Yeah, I hear that. We were talking about the idea of putting some money in a slot machine or something. Mm-hmm. And my reaction to that was, well, you know, if you have the $500 to put in the slot machine, you know, there's no reason to worry about it. But I think the fear comes up when it's like, well, this is a big risk, you know, is this risk going to serve me? And I think you're right in that, listening to your gut and then having a moment of discernment. But most often what happens is there is no connection to the gut, and then there's judgment.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't know if you've seen this idea that our unconscious actually processes, you know, tons more information than our conscious mind. So the feelings that we get are often in response to things that our conscious mind hasn't yet been able to process. And I tend to trust those things really strongly because I've developed a relationship with my feelings, and I've developed a relationship with my intuition over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I encourage people to do when they're just getting to know their gut again after a long separation is, you know, to do what you would do with any other relationship, which is to build trust with yourself. You know, maybe you don't put the $500 or $1,000 on red. Maybe you put a small amount on red and see how it goes. You know, if you haven't listened to that instinct in a long time, maybe you don't take the biggest jump that there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And maybe allowing yourself, I love what you're saying about the present moment, and allowing yourself to act from that place of the present moment, not how it might have turned out in the past, or how you are afraid it's going to, you know, you're afraid it'll turn out in the future. Maybe taking that step from the present moment leads you to a more centered action.
Yeah. I think we often are acting from the past or the future in all sorts of ways. You know, we hear our parents' voices in our head, or the media, or some voice from our past that's, oh, you can't do that, or, you know, doing that is going to be bad or wrong. And we let those voices get in the way of what we know to be our own truth. And so I think a lot of being with money is getting really present with how it really is for us, not how it was for our parents, mm-hmm. not how it is for those people over there who are doing that thing that I'm not doing, but how it is for me right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I think is really important is to track your money, right? So you know how it is right now, and you're not pretending and making up stories.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't looked at your bank account recently, it's time to look.
How can people start tracking their money? Because already I'm imagining I need a ledger and I need a pencil, one of those little tiny pencils, you know, and then every time I buy a sandwich, I have to write in the ledger with my tiny pencil. How can people start to track their money?
Well, that sounds uncomfortable. These days, there are lots of ways to track your money. An easy way is to use something that downloads your transactions. Like many of my clients start with mint.com. You know, if you put your banking information in there, it will download your transactions from multiple banking institutions and from credit cards and, you know, car notes and things like that. And you could have a list of your transactions. You do have to categorize them and check on them. And but it's no longer that doing your bookkeeping, you know, looking at your transactions has to be an ordeal. Mm-hmm. You know, it is most effective. Let's put it that way. It is most effective if you look at it consistently, but it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be, you know, I compare it, you know, to having a practice, right? Instead of just, oh, I'm going to look at this money one time, or my money stuff is going to be fantastic when I make $1 million. Right? It doesn't work that way. And even if you make $1 million, you know, or win the lottery, there's so many stories of lottery winners, like they win the lottery and that money is gone in 2 years. You know, they win $30 million and it's gone because they're not ready for it, right? They have no practice around money. So instead of money as a destination, I help people look at money as a practice, as a relationship to nurture over the course of their life. And that relationship can look like, you know, doing the long laundry for a smelly teenager, you know, and having to look at the icky, gross, you know, all the stuff that smelly teenagers deal with, and have it be a never-ending ordeal. Or we can look at it more like a meditative practice that every time you do it, you are building a muscle that gets stronger. You, every time you do it, you have the opportunity to create peace in your life, right? It's just the choice. What are you choosing? And I feel like that's a question you can ask yourself in any moment. What am I choosing right now? Am I choosing to have a smelly laundry practice? Mm-hmm. Or am I choosing peace? Am I choosing prosperity? Am I choosing ease and wellness and nourishment?
What kind of patterns do people who you work with, what kind of patterns do they find when they begin to track the money, when they begin to be present with how things really are for them financially?
That's a great question. They start to notice what has been happening. Often, very often, people have been miscalculating how much money they spend on things. You know, they count their income or some part of their income twice, or they don't count, you know, this expense or that expense. Like, they're great at counting their rent and their mortgage, their, you know, electricity and water and stuff like that, but they don't account for their haircuts or their gasoline or, you know, going out to dinner. And so their budgets run over because they're not tracking everything, right? Mm-hmm. They've only been tracking the critical important bills, you know. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest patterns that I find in individuals who are struggling with money, is that because they're not looking at it, the numbers have gone wildly awry in some form or another. Another pattern that I notice is, it has a lot to do with stories. You know, they're unhappy because they don't have the money that they told themselves they would have by this age, or they don't have, you know, whatever the story is. They're running a story of lack, and they're letting that make them miserable. You know, oh, I thought when I was X age, I would have a partner and kids and a house, you know, 2.5 kids and a dog and a picket fence and a whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't, and that somehow means that they're a bad person.
Right.
Right.
And that ties into then now we're getting into guilt and shame, and now we're getting into what mm-hmm. everyone else has and what I don't. Also, that half a child, if you do have the half a child, there's huge medical expenses with that.
Yes,
there's going to
need
to be specialized care.
Yeah, I don't recommend half a child.
No.
you know, if you have the option. you know, there's, it's just, it's such a funny story that people are like, and a dog and a, and it has to look like this. And if it doesn't look like this, then it's awful. And so often when they move past the stories, they're like, well, actually, I didn't really want that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So getting in touch with what you really want, being present with your money, seeing what are the real numbers, don't be afraid to look, see what the real numbers are, and don't be afraid to track everything. It is a mindfulness practice, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not don't be afraid, you know, feel free, be all of the afraid that you want, but do it anyway. One of the things that we say is that don't be afraid, you know, don't have your emotions, but I want to encourage you to have all of the emotions, because those emotions give you information. They are trying to tell you something, just like procrastination is trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, procrastination is often trying to tell you to take a break or have a vacation. You know, the things that you fantasize about are actually good for you. Going outside, taking a break, going for a walk, spending time with the people you care about. Really, really good for you, and really good for fueling, getting things done.
We try to hold that conflicting energy. I think this is true of money. This is true in love. This is true with things that we're procrastinating about. We're trying to hold that conflicting energy of, I want this, I want this, I want this. And boy, I don't know, it might be scary. Maybe I'll look at it later. Maybe I won't look at it at all. And when you try to run those two things together, I want to be abundant, I'm afraid I don't deserve anything, it's so hard to move forward.
Well, yeah, because you're telling yourself two different things, and you don't know what to believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all these conversations about law of attraction stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? Interesting stuff, raise your vibration, all of that. And that all works as long as you're acknowledging where you really are.
Yeah.
You know, you can't spin up positive thoughts that you don't believe. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't, it's not effective. So I want to make this distinguish this idea. The judgment that we have in our head versus what's effective. You know, we talk about, you know, I should do this or I shouldn't do this, or, you know, that's all judgment. That's all stories. What I encourage people to do is look at what's effective. Is it working?
Huh.
You know, are your negative thought patterns working for you?
Yeah.
And if they're not, you know, maybe they are. You know, maybe you're exactly where you want to be and it's all working and that's great, you know. But if it's not working, then it's time to consider something different. But you can't really consider something different if you're stuck in this pattern that's like, I should do this. It's, you know, this is bad or wrong or difficult, or I should be over there, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
all of those things take up all the space that you would be using to do something else.
And it keeps us churning and churning and churning, and nothing changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And we sit and we sit and we sit and we sit with the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the fear grows, and the lack of forward movement helps us feel like we're stuck, and then we tell ourselves we're stuck, and then we're even more stuck, and it goes on and on and on and on.
Right.
Oh my goodness. I'm depressed now, so it's a good time to, I think it's a good time to take to take a break. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, and our guest is financial coach Brianna Kavanaugh. She loves to help people love their money. You can find out more about Brianna and her work at infinitelypossible.net. We'll be right back after this.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and Lost Cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing, don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree. Yes. That one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest on today's show is Brianna Kavanaugh. She's a financial coach. She works with individuals and couples, business owners, to help people change their relationship with money. She's passionate about financial self-care. And you can find out more about Brianna and her work at infinitelypossible.net. And hey, Brianna, you've got some free resources up at infinitelypossible.net where people can get started on some of this coming into the present with their money, changing that financial story, right?
Yep, I sure do. If you go to my website, infinitelypossible.net, on that front page, you can sign up, you know, put your name and your email address in there. And I will send you out the Prosperity Moment, which is the first tool I give my clients to help them shift from that pattern we've been talking about, money as a destination, to money as a practice. It's the first step and a tool that you can use anywhere to help you get current and to feel better about money right away, like 2 to 3 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay, so you can get your Prosperity Moment free at infinitelypossible.net. If you trade Brianna your email address, then that will be yours. Now, I know that you have a feeling about financial bliss and that there's a financial bliss blueprint. What is financial bliss? Because if my story, if the story I've been telling myself, I will be happy when I make $8 trillion a day, or I will be happy when I have as much stuff as Brianna has, or whatever... What is financial bliss, then?
So, bliss, my experience with bliss, my take on it, is our true natures. When I move all the stories out of the way, underneath it, there's this, like, incredible joy that happens of just being me as I am right now in the present moment, you know, getting rid of all the stories of lack and loss and all of that. and it just feels incredible. And this is what I offer to my clients, is the opportunity to have more joy and bliss around their money and just in their worlds. Mm-hmm. And it takes looking at the things that we've been talking about, your money and how that's feeling for you and your stories. It's a deep dive into looking at those stories really clearly, and looking at those emotions and really being willing to let go of your stories and step into your bliss, which is available to you. I mean, it's available to you in any moment that you want to have it. Mm-hmm. But it's often just kind of covered over with our stories and our upset and our lack and, you know, all of the stories that happen in our culture. Mm-hmm. But when you're willing to let those go and really look at it, I find that people step into bliss pretty easily, actually.
There is sometimes an idea, and you touched on this a little bit with the law of attraction idea. There is sometimes an idea that if you could just get it right, just get it adjusted right, that magically money pours from the sky. Mm. And that if, you know what I mean, if we could just, you know, turn around the right way, say the right thing, have the right affirmation, have the right teacher, that everything would magically like shift and it would be okay. In your experience, does that happen for people?
Things certainly do shift. I've never actually seen money pour from the sky, but I have seen money pour out of parking meters, and I have seen, you know, my own experience as I put on a pair of pants, and I'm like, oh, look, there's 20 bucks in the pocket of his pants.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have seen people go and say, oh, look, there's an extra couple hundred dollars in my bank account that I, you know, hadn't accounted for. Mm-hmm. I know I have had experiences of opening to source and getting a check for $8,000 in my mailbox.
Wow.
I mean, I have had those experiences myself personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, that some of that is magical thinking, that somehow there'll be a magic pill or a button and that things will be okay forever. And that's destination thinking. Mm. Right? That's the thinking that we're trying to shift. Anytime you say, it'll all be better if I do this one thing,
yeah,
you're lying to yourself. It's just, it's crap. It's just not what's true, right?
Yeah.
Business owners hear all the time, if I only had the list of 50,000 people, I would have more clients than I could ever deal with. You know, if only I found the right guru, you know, I could meditate with them once and everything would change. And I don't know about that experience.
Yeah.
What I do know is that if you put some work into it, you can change stuff. Pretty big stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not a one time, it's not an overnight, you know. That's just not my experience, you know?
And it too is that connecting with teachers is so important. Connecting with resources after
help
is so important. It's absolutely key. And all those things can be things that point you, guide you, take you to the place where you are looking at your own stuff. Because my money story won't be the same as yours, right?
Right.
And so if someone comes along and says, I have here, swallow this magic pill and money will pour out of the skies. No, really, you have to believe it. And if the money doesn't come out of the skies, then something's wrong with you and you didn't do it right. That's what makes me a little nuts. Because people, in their fear and their procrastination, they'll take the magic pill or do whatever it is. And then when the money doesn't pour from the sky, because the situation, the solution was out completely outside of themselves, but when the money doesn't pour from the sky, then they're devastated.
Yes. Yeah. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this idea for a minute of making a big jump, right? Why do lottery winners not keep their money? You know, average people, they win $1 million or $10 million, and in a couple of years, it's gone, all gone. Their money poured out of the sky. They got it, right? They made it. That's the destination that they wanted. Everything should be perfect. But in a couple of years, they're back where they started. You know, what happened? Well, what happened is they're not a match for that money. They're not a vibrational match. They're not, they don't yet have the capacity to receive that, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be able to have more money and keep it and hold on to it and have that as a consistent experience, you have to open to receiving.
And that opening is,
yep,
can be very difficult because we carry our, we're back to the stories, right?
Right. There's so many cultural stories. One of the exercises I take people through in my class is, what are the fairy tales that you know about money? What are the beliefs in those fairy tales? Mm-hmm. And they come up with things like, good people give their money away. Only villains have lots of money, right? The evil stepsisters in Cinderella and the evil queen and the, you know, the bad this and the, you know, they, those rich people, they're always doing mean things. It's not true for one thing, right? There are all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, whether they have money or not.
Mm-hmm.
And generalizing about a group of people is not going to help you. It does, however, separate you from being one of those people, right? Mm-hmm. So the stories actually keep you where you are, right? They're going to keep you in exactly the same place, in the same, you know, class area as your parents, right? You know, limits class mobility, limits ability to have what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Opening to receiving is a really amazing process. You know those stories where there's a movie and a guy goes to give a girl a thing and she says, oh no, I couldn't possibly accept that. That's the moment where she denies her abundance, right? There's what you want to do is look for opportunities to say yes to the universe.
Mm.
You know, if you find a penny on the ground, pick it up, say yes. It's a small amount of money, but it's more than you had a minute ago.
That's right.
Right? Somebody offers to take you to dinner. Say yes. You know, somebody offers to give you a massage. Say yes. In fact, I just want to put this out there. I would be happy to have more people offer me a massage. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and put it out there, right? You can't get it if you don't know that you want it, if you don't put it out there.
Yeah.
Doing work around receiving is challenging and incredibly rewarding, you know,
mm-hmm,
incredibly rewarding. So when somebody offers you something, say yes. Let the universe give you something.
Yeah.
Because here's the other thing. The other side of receiving is giving. And you know how good it feels to give somebody something,
mm-hmm,
right? Don't deny them pleasure, mm-hmm, you know. Pleasure is our birthright, right? We are pleasure-seeking animals. That's what we want. That's where our emotions will lead us, is to feeling good if we let them. You know?
And saying it, if you invite me to dinner, by the way, I'd love to. If you invite me to dinner and I say yes, not only am I saying yes to that, but I'm making it real. I've done something. I've said something. I've started the ball rolling,
right,
now to open,
right,
myself up to more. When we keep this all inside, all of it, our fear or our joy or what we want, we keep it all inside and it just stays there. And so saying yes makes it real. You're activating something there.
So part of the financial bliss blueprint is looking at yourself as a channel for a manifestation. This is an idea that I've used for a long time. You know, we take a look at this idea of the chakras. You know, there's these, mm-hmm, energy centers in the body. And if you look at them, they're a perfect manifestation channel, right? Your crown chakra, you get this inspiration. And then your third eye, you get a vision of something. And then you start talking about it at your throat chakra. And as you talk about it, you fall in love with it at your heart chakra, right? And then maybe you do some small action about it, right? And that action increases your passion. And your passion is at your second chakra. And as you move through these things, your inspiration, your inspired desire starts to come in through the world.
Yeah.
You know? And so looking at, you know, this financial bliss blueprint is looking at how you can use your emotions and your intuition and follow your bliss to actually manifest your clarity of purpose and the things that you really, really want in the world, you know, by following your internal and divinely inspired guidance.
I love it. And taking centered action, really doing something in alignment. I love how that affects every single energy center of the body. Doing something in alignment is a lot different than the destination thinking that you were talking about.
Right. The thing about destination thinking is even if it worked, the next day you would have a hell of a destination hangover. Right? And then, you know, it's like you have that one peak experience and you can never go back.
Mm-hmm.
Why set that up? Why not have ever increasing more awesome experiences? Why not?
Are there tools?
I mean, I'd rather have it that way, personally.
Well, yes, absolutely. And that's part of that. Sometimes maybe what you think would be your financial, as opposed to financial bliss, what you might think would be your financial goal turns out to be then you get there and you're like, oh, well, that was okay. Did that. Now what? Right?
Right.
And financial bliss is very different because that's like, that sounds like to me anyway, that's a flow, that's a process, that's movement, that it doesn't end, it just keeps going.
Exactly. So you step, it's like stepping in the flow of a river. You know, the river doesn't end, it flows into bigger and brighter and better things.
Mm. Are there tools that you teach to help people get clear about their intention to open to receive or about their intentions around specific things that they want to receive?
Oh, yes.
Well, would you, can I have
yes,
one?
Lots. oh, gosh, where to start? So I, you know, we start with doing some assessments and creating some clarity. I find that people haven't really looked at their lives, the whole of their lives and the whole of their money lives in a long time. And I find that doing a couple of assessments, which by the way, if you sign up for the prosperity moment, you'll also get the first two assessments that I use with my clients that will come along, you know, a little while after the prosperity moment. And it will help you look at your whole life and see if there are pieces of your life that are working or not working. And then it takes a deep dive into the looking at the financial pieces in a really fun, gentle, explorative way. Mm-hmm. And out of that, you'll have a better understanding of what you want to start doing and stop doing and gives you tools to begin on the path. My approach and the thing that I advocate is gentleness and self-care.
Yes.
Right? So the steps that you take should always be, or I invite you to have them always be feeling good, you know, move towards the thing that feels good, move away from, rather than moving away from the thing that feels bad, move towards the thing that feels good. So in these assessments, it looks at, well, what would feel better? And how can you take just, you know, start with just one step, do something small that will help you feel better right now. Is people who, especially for people who are starting the journey and they're in terror, upset, or overwhelmed, like it doesn't have to be the most intense terror ever, but you're in upset, you're in overwhelm, you know you need financial systems, but it's scary. Mm-hmm. You know, for folks who are on that scale, you just take one small step, do one thing. You know, check your bank account today. Mm-hmm. You know, and breathe into that. Just feel the feelings for a minute. You don't have to stay with all of that all day, every day, forever, but just take a step, just one, do a thing, feel better. Mm-hmm. I invite you into feeling better a little bit at a time, you know, every day. I mean, guys, what would the world look like? Like, how amazing would it be if people walked around all the time feeling good? How nice would we be to each other?
No, it'd be awesome, and it's kind of sad that a lot of us, our natural set point is not at that feeling good place. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I like what you're talking about is that this is about a practice. Because practice means you don't get it right the first time, and it means you're allowed to continue and continue and continue working on it. You don't have to fix it all the first day and go, oh, there it goes. Everything's solved. Yeah. You know?
In fact, I encourage people to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, try it out. Make mistakes. See what happens. We started out talking about how I got into this, and I said, like, you know, like all good things, I fell into it completely accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty resistant to going and taking that assignment and trying out that thing. But, you know, I said, I'll give it a shot. Right?
Yeah.
And I was totally willing to fail. And, you know, and some people might count it as a failure because, you know, I didn't take that job on and stay there forever and, you know, make $1 million and, right? Mm-hmm. But it did launch me down a path that has made me feel incredibly good and helped me help lots and lots of people.
Right. So that's right. A huge success for you. What someone else might see as a failure kind of doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
But I circle back to all the time is, but it's a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking that temp job or going on that assignment or, you know, picking up to call that person that you've been wanting to call, it doesn't have to be a huge thing to make a difference in your life.
Yes.
You know, it happens all the time that I get an intuition to call someone who something amazing happens. Just a few weeks ago, I called my friend Stella the Good Witch, and I said, you know, I need a little bit of astrology support. And we had a session that turned my whole program around in just an hour.
Wow.
I followed my intuition. I ended up co-creating a six-week class with six different people that has been absolutely fantastic. But it's because I followed my intuition and asked for some help and then took the advice of the person who offered me help.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed the course of, this piece of my life and has opened me to more financial bliss.
Wow. Now you are teaching, I see we're just about at the end of our time and I know you're teaching a class called, I know it goes fast, doesn't it? Financial
yeah, it does.
Bliss Blueprint class. How can people connect with that? And tell us again all your things like the website and all the free stuff and how great you are and how they should call you. Go do that. I'll do that stuff.
Well, I think you did it. my website is infinitelypossible.net. And again, on that front page, if you sign up, you put your email address and your name in there, you'll get the prosperity moment, which will come to you immediately. And you'll get the two assessments that'll come in email to you. And you'll get all the information about the Financial Bliss Blueprint class that's coming up. So you'll get a little intro to that in the next couple of weeks. You'll get more information. You'll get to explore some possibilities around money, you know, that don't require any kind of like intense commitment or all that stuff. I try to help people access this information as easily as I possibly can because I know how critical it is to making change. So I would love to invite you all to come and sign up and get more information, get some assessments, you know, try on having a practice. And the truth is, if it doesn't work for you, you know, what's the risk if it doesn't work for you?
Right.
You've tried some new interesting thing. You've put an idea out into the world that you would like more prosperity. Seems like a good thing to me.
I agree. One of the things I like about you is that you teach with great wisdom, but with great humor, great love. And I thank you so much for being on the show today, for sharing that wisdom and that love and that humor with the listeners. Thank you, Brianna.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your generous heart.
Oh my gosh, it's fun too.
Yes,
I love it. Don't tell anyone about the candy bar thing though. I just want to be clear on that. It's totally private, and I never I never shared that. Thank you
okay,
so
my,
much.
Okay, my lips are sealed. Thank you so much, Karen.
You're very welcome. That was the wonderful Brianna Kavanaugh. You can find out more about Brianna and her work at infinitelypossible.net. Go there and give her your email address and grab some of those free tools that she's sharing with you to help you get a little bit closer to financial bliss, help you come into the present with your money. Now, that's all the time that we have for today. Would you also please go to fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything? And next week at this time on Empower Radio, my guest will be hypnotherapist and dream expert Kelly Sullivan Walden. We're going to be talking about her new book, It Is All in Your Dreams. And if you're listening to us on Empower Radio online, do you know there's also an Empower Radio app available for your phone? Whether you've got an iPhone, it's an Android, or I don't know, are there other kinds of phones made out of chocolate bars? You can get that Empower Radio app, and that means you can have us with you any darn time you want to. Thank you for listening today. Together we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.